Now meet Dr. Grace Lawrence, formerly at Swinburne University, who's won a place at UCL following her own work on the dark stuff.
Cosmoparticles, to do with dark matter perhaps?
Right on the money, yes. Specifically dark matter and how astrophysics and particle physics can work together to discover it.
And of course you come from Melbourne, and here is one of the leading experiments with all sorts of installations underground to see if they can capture. What in particular are they looking for?
Specifically WIMP dark matter. So they're searching for these weakly interacting massive particles using the Sabre experiment. And of course, quite interestingly, burrowing underground to search the cosmos.
Because these particles will go through the ground without noticing and will be collectible down there, separated from all the other things that are bombarding us.
Yes, absolutely. So those sort of few kilometres of rock, you'd hope not to be claustrophobic, but they work wonders to block cosmic rays and all sorts of radiation that might contaminate our signal and give us the best chance to actually see dark matter.
Between ourselves, have they found anything yet?
Oh, not that I've been told.
And when they do find something showing what 85% of the universe is made of that they can't find, what do you think the reaction around the world would be?
A huge combination of relief, celebration, hopefully some champagne, and definitely a Nobel Prize.
I see. Is that important?
Hugely so.
So you've gone to London. You've won yourself a place at UCL, which is University College London, and famous for Jeremy Bentham, who's one of my dear friends there. And of course, if listeners haven't heard of him, he's been dead for quite some time, but his stuffed body still attends council meetings. But UCL is a wonderful place for all sorts of aspects of science, not least your own physics. How are you getting on there?
I'm absolutely loving it. It is a vibrant, welcoming research community, and I got to just dive straight into wonderful simulations and wonderful science discussions, and I'm absolutely loving it there.
And what is their theory? Because you see, a great number of different organisations have got a view. I broadcast one not terribly long ago that dark matter is made of something actually named after a laundry detergent. What was it called?
That would be the Axion.
Axions, indeed. An American Nobel Prize winner thought it was a good fun to suggest. Now, is it quite respectable to think that dark matter may be made up of any number of different small particles?
I think it would be entirely reasonable. We sort of have to start somewhere. So, you know, our theoreticians come up with these models and we go searching for them. But dark matter was postulated because of the broad effects that we observe it having on the universe. And so it's entirely possible that there could be some combination of particles and effects producing that, be it WIMPs, axions, primordial black holes. There's a swathe of options.
Primordial black holes, in other words, ones floating around that you don't particularly notice, and there could be zillions of those, and add them all up and the mess is extraordinary.
Yes, yes. And to think that black holes could be zooming around us is an almost frightening thought, because we tend to think of black holes as these sort of star-eating monsters, but these ones are incredibly small, the size of a marble, but with huge masses, and they're a very real possibility, and people within Australian institutions are searching for them.
I would have thought they'd be quite easy to find.
Well, unfortunately, nothing in astrophysics seems easy to find. But in this particular case, they're searching for a sort of lensing event. So the light coming from stars between yourself and this primordial black hole is getting bent by the intense gravity.
And that's one of the experiments, in fact, done successfully on the west coast of Australia to prove Einstein right. Indeed, there was an event. Was it an eclipse? Suggesting that you would see light in a particular way because of its passing around a gigantic body, and the light would be bent. And in 1919 and in the mid-20s, that's what turned it around for Einstein.
Yes, and so that technique was proposed then for something as, dare I say, simple as an eclipse. And it's continued to evolve so much so that we can search for these marble-sized primordial black holes for the way that they bend this stellar light. We need incredible sensitivity, but with telescopes like we have from Hawaii and Chile, we're reaching those levels of sensitivity where we can find them.
And what line are you taking in your research?
I'm slightly more on the theory and simulation side. So my research uses these wonderful supercomputer simulations of galaxies like our own Milky Way. And I'm using them to see where dark matter is distributed within our galaxy and how it got there through its sort of formation history. And then once I know where it is, I can use that to make predictions about how we might detect it on Earth and what those signals might look like if we did.
You were mentioning before about the kind of reaction there would be if there was actually a discovery of these mysterious elements making the dark matter. We're mourning, a couple of weeks ago, the passing of Peter Higgs at the age of 94, a person behind the Higgs boson. And it's quite interesting that even though he was something of a recluse in many ways, especially as far as the media were concerned, that he is being mourned internationally. Are you surprised?
No, not at all. I didn't have the fortune to meet him in person during his life, but I'd heard that he was an incredibly generous scientist with his students and his colleagues, and what he offered the world with the Higgs boson changed our understanding of physics. And so I think it's only right that he be mourned in that way.
They've actually identified them a few years ago, and there were all sorts of bets. I think a science minister was offering bottles of champagne in Britain to the team that maybe found them or could interpret what a boson was supposed to be. But is it the case that, rather like dark matter may solve the problem, a massive one of the nature of the universe, that the Higgs boson might explain the ways in which mass, in other words, a physical presence, can be realized even when you think there's nothing there?
It's a very interesting question, and one I'm afraid I don't probably have a compelling answer to. Certainly creating something from genuine nothing remains a mystery. We understand so much about those first few seconds or less than seconds after the Big Bang, but not the moment itself. So I think you've just written a PhD thesis within that question.
I should be so lucky. But thank you, and congratulations on winning this prize.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Grace Lawrence, one of our brilliant women over there at the University College London, having done her PhD with Alan Duffy in Melbourne.